And so we always celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family after Christmas as a good time to meditate on the importance of family, particularly when families are getting together at this time of year. Especially here in South Louisiana, we have a very strong family tradition. And Pope St. John Paul II said, "The future of the world and the church passes through the family." And so that's how important it is, that the future depends on this very building block of civilization, the family. And we certainly know all the different threats that there are out against the family in the world today. So we certainly need to pray ever more strongly. And I was able to be with my great niece, Mia, the other day, a year and a half, and experience family life. And she enjoys tearing apart little cards, little playing cards, and the boxes that are in them, and mixing all the decks of cards together, about five different decks, and doing nice little destructive things like that, and but bringing great joy to our family. And so today we can meditate on the importance of the family. And what does the gospel tell us about the family? Today, we see Jesus, Mary, and Joseph making the 3 or 4 day journey by donkey or walking to Jerusalem from Nazareth, and when Jesus was 12 years old. And so it shows us the importance of going to church. Now, on a regular Saturday, the Jewish Sabbath, they would have gone to the local synagogue in Nazareth. But on 1, 2, or 3 special feast days throughout the year, they would have made that journey to Jerusalem to worship at the temple there. And so it shows us the importance of going to church. For us, the Sabbath, of course, is Sunday, the day of the Lord's resurrection, and to try to go as best we can as a family. Sometimes you do have to split up, but to be a part of that family of the church. So we heard in the letter of John today where he said, we are all children of God, right? Through our baptism, we are adopted sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father. And so as we have our natural families, we also have our supernatural family of the church. And we're all brothers and sisters in Christ. And we'll pray that family prayer, the Our Father prayer, right before communion, right? We all have the same Heavenly Father. We have our spiritual mother, Mary. Jesus is our brother. And all of us, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so it's a universal family. The Greek word for universal is Catholic. So God means for the whole human family to be one family. But that original sin, you know, brought fractures into the human family and still exists today. But we're working with the grace of God to overcome them all. Now, what is something that you do in your family home very often? You eat, right? And you prepare a lot of cooking, and you have to cook a long time, and then it's eaten up in about 15, 20 minutes, right? My mother used to say that. I work so hard, and it's gone in 15, 20 minutes. But eating is something very social and draws the family together, right? And so we do the same thing with our supernatural family. We actually have two tables that we eat at here in church. This is the first one, the ambo or the pulpit. We are consuming right now the Word of God. God's divine revelation, how he has spoken to us throughout the ages, has been recorded in scripture and in sacred tradition, has been passed down to us today. That's why we're here, almost 2,000 years later, doing just about exactly what they were doing back then, right? Celebrating the Holy Eucharist, different forms and shapes, but for the most part, same way. And so we consume first the Word, here, the truth for our minds, our intellects, and then we go to the sacrificial altar and table of the Lord and consume the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. And so we are truly consuming our Lord and becoming one with him, right? You are what you eat. We have that phrase. Well, if we are consuming Jesus, we are becoming more and more one with Jesus, our Lord. And so God is drawing this human family together to his table throughout the world. And it's our work to evangelize and to bring others into this very same family. Secondly, we see that it said Mary kept all these things in her heart. Twice it says that, once after the Annunciation and here with this event of finding him in the temple. And so the verb to keep is something means ongoing. So it means that Mary meditated on these mysteries of the life of Christ in her life. And so that's what we do when we pray and when we meditate. And the rosary is certainly one form of meditation that we can use to look at the life of Jesus through the eyes of Mary, who knew him the best. And, you know, the words of the rosary are kind of like background music that can block out the distractions around us so we can focus on that mystery. And so the life of prayer, very, very important for each and every one of us to spend some quality time with the Lord, because the more you pray, the more you are becoming like God. The more he reveals himself to you, the more you have his spirit in you. And you'll see the changes in the way you treat others as well. Thirdly, Jesus was obedient to Joseph and Mary. And this is amazing that God was obedient to two of his creatures, right? How humble that Jesus is, that he would be obedient to his very creatures. He created them, and yet he is obedient to them. So a great sign for all of us to be obedient to our parents and to God and to all rightful authority. Now, why do you think that the fourth commandment, which starts the whole set of commandments about relationship with our neighbor, is honor your father and mother? Right? The first three commandments deal with kind of directly with God. Fourth through the tenth commandments are our relationship with each other, love of God, love of neighbor. But the first one with love of neighbor is parents, even before murder it is placed there. Because our parents are the first representatives of authority of God in our life that we come to know. And if we don't respect our parents, then we cannot respect God himself. And so that's why it's so important, this obedience and this love for our parents. Number four, Jesus, it says, advanced in wisdom. And so wisdom is to have the point of view of God, his view of life and of eternity. And that's the kind of view that we want to have. We want to grow in wisdom. The Bible talks lots of wisdom versus foolishness. The foolishness of the world, the foolishness of everything contrary to God. And so the more we pray, once again, the more we start to have that wise view, that wisdom of God in our hearts, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We also see in the Holy Family today that they had miscommunication problems. Any of y'all have miscommunication problems in your family? My dad used to say that. We don't communicate well in this family. So I'm sure most families can speak about that at least from time to time, right? So they had a miscommunication. Jesus stayed behind, and Joseph and Mary are in the traveling party and think that he's with the others and nobody can find him, so they lose him. Imagine having to explain to God, I lost your son. You can imagine that their hearts must have sunk. I remember watching one of my nephews when he was little and at the playground and just taking my eyes off of him for a few seconds and then looking back, and he was gone. And I scanned the whole horizon, nowhere in sight. And of course, you immediately go to the worst thing. He's been abducted or something like that, you know. So I can imagine you parents when you've had that sinking feeling when a child gets away very quickly. But imagine Joseph and Mary losing the Son of God. So they go back to the temple, find him there. And he says, I had to be about my father's business. So you see that double understanding of father, right? Our earthly fathers, and of course Joseph was an adopted father for Jesus, but also our heavenly fathers as well. So we want to think of those two different kinds of understanding, our heavenly father, God himself, that are so important. Earthly fathers, adopted fathers, and our heavenly father himself. Somebody used family as an acronym The letters each meaning a different word, F-A-M-I-L-Y. Father and mother, I love you. Father and mother, I love you. And that spells family. So let's take this time during this Christmas season to slow down a little bit. I know it's been very busy with the season and preparations and all of these kinds of things. And so I'd like to conclude with this little poem that I think tells us an important story. A weary mother returned from the store, lugging groceries through the kitchen door. Awaiting her arrival was her 8-year-old son, eager to relate what his younger brother had done. While I was out playing and Dad was on a call, TJ took his crayons and wrote on the wall. It's on the new paper you just hung in the den. I told him you'd be mad at having to do it again. She let out a moan and furrowed her brow. Where is your little brother right now? She emptied her arms and with a purposeful stride, she marched to her closet, to his closet, where he had gone to hide. She called his full name as she entered his room. He trembled with fear. He knew that meant doom. For the next 10 minutes, she ranted and raved about the expensive wallpaper and how she had saved. Lamenting all the work it would take to repair, she condemned his actions and total lack of care. The more she scolded, the madder she got, then stomped from his room totally distraught. She headed for the den to confirm her fears. When she saw the wall, her eyes flooded with tears. The message she read pierced her soul with a dart. It said, "I love mommy surrounded by a heart." Well, the wallpaper remained just as she found it, with an empty picture frame hung to surround it. A reminder to her, and indeed to all, take time to read the handwriting on the wall. So let's do that now that some of the hustle and bustle of Christmas is over, that we can relax a bit and meditate on the importance of our families on earth and our heavenly family as well. Read the handwriting on the wall. God loves you. Face it. Amen.